Welcome back to our Sleep Life podcast, and this is your host, Mel, and I'm very excited today because you guys all know I love patient stories because they go all over the place and we get to learn all the crazies, and that's going to be like this one too. And you guys probably know her. She's been behind the scenes in the community for the last few years helping us all out. Her name is Heather, Heather.BSG. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Yeah, and it's this is Heather.BSG on Instagram.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And we will make sure, I will make sure that's linked below and not the wrong Heather. So tell everybody about yourself. Like, when did you get surgery? Why did you get surgery? What's going on with you?
Yeah, I got surgery January 31st of 2023. So a little over 3 years ago, which is wild to me.
Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a night and day difference for sure.
Yeah. How do you feel? Like that,
I feel amazing. I feel amazing. But I got surgery because I actually have had a lifelong battle with kidney disease. In particular, one that's pretty rare. It's called primary hyperoxaluria. Oh. And essentially, my liver didn't have the DNA to make an enzyme to break down oxalate. And oxalate is just something that's made in your body. It's also in a bunch of foods like strawberries and spinach and chocolate. But my body made so much of it just through normal metabolic processes that it was all over in astronomical levels. And it has a high affinity for calcium.
Okay.
And that results in kidney stones, primarily.
Okay.
Calcium oxalate is the most common kidney stone composition. So anybody who's had kidney stones, you might relate in that manner. But my body just made so much of it that it didn't matter what I ate. And when I was 2.5, they were wondering why I was having all kinds of bladder infections as a super young child.
Yeah.
And I had an ultrasound, and they actually found a whole bunch of kidney stones in little two-year-old me.
Oh, so, no! Oh, yeah. No. I know. As a mom, I'd be freaked the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. My parents were so scared. So yeah. I got a referral to the U of M hospital in Minnesota, where I had a nephrology team, and they discovered that I had this disorder, and it's 1 to 3 in a million. Yeah, it's I'm the unicorn I don't want to be.
Yep. 1 in 3 million, girl. 1 in 3 million. Right.
And so when I turned 18, I started actually having kidney stones because they were able to manage it to some degree as a kid. And then when I was 20, I went into acute kidney failure.
Oh, shit.
It was the day after I finished my finals for my sophomore year of college. And it was very scary. I was having stomach aches after I drank water, like nauseous stomach aches.
Whoa.
Couldn't eat much at all. I was just constantly nauseous and didn't know what was going on. My mom, thank goodness, she was a nurse at the time, now retired. But she said, let's just go in, get it checked out. Turns out I had 8% kidney function.
Whoa.
Because when your kidneys are going, you don't know until it's really bad. You don't typically have physical symptoms.
Okay.
So, and I had already had 8 or 9 kidney stone removal surgeries at this point. So,
Jesus, Heather.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's to say the least, you poor thing.
But I went on 11 months of dialysis, almost a year. And then by miraculous healing, the doctors have no explanation of it, I gained about 50% function back and was able to live the next 6.5 years without too many concerns.
Nice.
I did have some kidney stones and a surgery where I was septic and had to then start looking at kidney transplant again.
Wow.
So my kidneys started to kind of tank at that point. Just because of the scarring, all of the kidney stones, it takes a lot out of your body.
Did they make you change what you eat, drink, like what you are around? Like, what could you do? Anything?
So I've always had hammered into me water, water, water my
Okay.
entire life because of the kidney stuff. So I've always been really, really good with my water, in fact.
Yep. Drink your water right now, people.
Yes. But as a kid, I couldn't have like rhubarb pie because rhubarb is something that's super high in oxalate. They discourage that. Strawberry spinach, I've never been big on green leafy greens because of the oxalate. When I was on dialysis, it's a very low phosphorus and low potassium diet. So a lot of dairy you have to stay away from. It's super, super limited. You need a ton of protein because the dialysis machine pulls protein out of your blood as it's filtering it.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, it was a challenge. And a lot of things you think are healthy, like vegetables, a bunch of fruits, you can't have. And so the dialysis diet is white bread, pasta,
Whoa.
and protein. But it was, I didn't really like the vegetables that I could have at that
Okay.
point. And so it was a lot of weight gain right before. I had an incredible medical team at Mayo Clinic, and they still allowed me to go through with transplant despite being overweight. At that point, I
Okay.
was about 242 pounds the day of transplant. And they said because of how I carried it, it was okay.
Okay.
But if I carried it differently, I would have had to lose weight. And at that time, and this was 2017, I was 2016, 2017, I was reevaluated early in the year 2017.
Okay.
And they had just started a program for liver transplant patients to start to get bariatric surgery, VSG in particular, at the time of transplant. And that was something that was considered, but because of my situation where I had to have my kidneys, my native kidneys, that's what they call your kidneys you're born with, removed because of the amount of oxalate, they were basically crystallized.
Yeah.
It would migrate to the new kidney. So it was a huge problem.
I
And I
would
did get a
imagine.
kidney and a liver because the liver alleviated the genetic issue that I had.
So you got a
So
liver transplant and a kidney transplant?
at the same time, from
Whoa.
the same donor, because the Mayo Clinic figured out in about 2014, 2015, that there's actually some protective properties from the liver over a kidney when you transplant it from the same DNA, because a kidney is very, very susceptible to rejection, but a
Okay.
liver isn't as susceptible. And so the liver kind of takes the brunt of any damage that might happen if you
Okay.
get sick or what have you. I can still absolutely reject both organs at any time. But
What? Our
yeah.
bodies can still do that?
Yes, because that DNA
Oh.
will never become my own. So I'm always on immunosuppressants.
Okay. I did not
So.
know that. I thought like once So I thought with transplants, once you're in it and they're inside of you and you take all the meds for like a year, then you would be fine. I didn't know like it's like a lifelong thing after that.
Yeah, the first
Yeah.
year is the most challenging because your body is still, they're still figuring out med levels, and that can go beyond it, but you have the highest risk for rejection in that
Okay.
first year,
Okay.
which is super scary because this surgery was, mine was 10 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so they took out my native kidneys, so I don't have those. They put the new kidney in my lower left abdomen. Then found out that the artery that they wanted to use to connect it was so deteriorated, they had to take the kidney out and put it on ice, go back to the donor and grab an artery from the donor and graft that in, and then pull the kidney back. So I actually have a lower kidney function because of that process. Just naturally, it's very hard on the organs, but I'm so blessed to have the function that I do have, and I'll get into that a little later. But then they did the liver.
Yeah.
So,
That is
I know
nuts.
very little about my donor, but I do know that there was another person on the floor who got the other kidney. because you can live on just one kidney, and then it allows other people to, more people to get a transplant at the same time.
Wow. That is crazy. Cause you didn't think that you were going to have to do your liver, right? You just thought it was going to be the kidneys, or did you always know?
Initially in 2010, when my kidneys failed and I went to Mayo Clinic after going to the U of M, because the Mayo Clinic has the only center in the world that addresses primary hyperoxaluria as a specialty. And it was only 2 hours south of where I grew up, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
They didn't know about needing a liver at that time.
Okay.
So in 2016, 2017, it was kind of like, wait, what? I need what? Why?
Yeah.
So that was really interesting.
I would imagine, because that's, yeah. I mean, it's scary enough to like have to transfer one organ, let alone multiple organs. And then you have got two organs and an artery. Like, whoa. That is wild. Now, when they were trying to figure out what was wrong, well, I guess you've kind of always known that it was kidneys because of your young age, but when did the weight play a factor in all of this? Were you always like bigger when you were a kid and all the things, or how did it work?
Yeah, I was pretty much always bigger from about the age of 10 or so, 10, 11. I remember in particular going to a birthday party of a family friend's child. And my mom told me I couldn't wear a swimsuit because I was a little heavy for it.
Ah, yes. Moms. So, those little words.
And she is one of my biggest cheerleaders through and through, but that stuck with me early. And I lost a bunch of weight about the second half of ninth grade. I kind of lost my, like, kid baby weight.
Okay.
And that was, you know, early high school. I think I got down to 145 from about 160 or 170 at that point. And then, you know, life happened, and then the kidney failure happened. I did not feel good. I was wiped out every other day. Dialysis is super hard. It was super hard. So I have very little energy and definitely leaned in on the carbs.
Yep.
And my
especially is the diet for it, like,
yeah, and
like
there's
wild.
There's definitely like healthy balances within that, but it was kind of a matter of preference and not feeling good and not moving my body, because that's just the reality of the choices I made and where I was at. So that was tough. And then I did lose some weight, probably about, I mean, it was kind of up and down, and I tried diets, and I tried Weight Watchers. I tried for a while. I did just a bunch of protein bars and water, and I mean, that's not balanced. That's not really good for you.
Not at all.
So the other thing about transplant meds is they can definitely make you crave sugar. That's a big one.
That sucks.
And I lost 40 pounds after transplant.
Okay.
Through being incredibly sick. I had a really bad wound infection where I had to have a wound vac on for 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh.
And I did go back to work 2 months after transplant.
But then
over time, just... the transplant meds did not help anything, but I gained some worse habits, less moving of my body. And it got to about 4.5 years out, and I'm like, I've had enough of this. I'm like 260 something pounds. Like, I need something.
Yeah.
And I found our Sleeve Life podcast and started exploring what I need to do about my weight. My doctors were like, hey, yeah, you need to do something. You can pursue weight loss surgery now because you're not doing so many things in one surgery, because that, the liver, the kidneys, and the in and out with the kidney, it was, that was just too much to try to add on.
Right.
the lifestyle of weight loss surgery beyond that, that would have been way too much.
Well,
So,
and now that we know what the weight loss style is, like, no
yeah.
way were you mentally, physically ready for something like that.
No.
No way.
Yeah. And those transplant meds wreck your body. It
Do
is
they?
crazy. Yeah, I so one thing about me is I have a shake, and this is
Yes.
because of the transplant meds. I drink my water, I've got my nutrition, I promise I'm getting sleep. It's tough. Insomnia sucks, but I'm still doing everything I need to as best as I can on every day. So yeah, I shake, and that's just my
She
normal.
does. So she helps with our with my website, guys, with our Sleep Life podcast and the JBY website. And we were literally on a call and she was shaking and I was like, girl, you need to eat. And she's like, I'm like, you're shaking like crazy. And she's like, that has nothing to do.
No.
Like, I literally have been eating, I promise. And
Yeah.
it's just the meds. It's crazy. I would
Yeah.
have never have guessed that it would make you, even this far out from it, that it would make the shakes.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's worse when I don't get enough sleep. It's worse if I haven't eaten in a while. It's worse if it's 2 hours since I first took my meds, because there is a kind of a peak and then a valley.
Okay.
So it depends on the time of day, all of that. But I get a lot of comments from people, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. It's my normal.
Well, yeah, because we're like, first, I'm like, wait, she's not a drinker. This is
No.
interesting. Because I'm like, she can't really do that. Like,
Yeah.
right? Like, you can't, I mean, besides
I
the
don't drink.
RBSG surgery, but between the liver transplant and the kidney, I would imagine that's a no-go.
Yes, I don't drink. I have my favorite mocktail is tonic water, particularly the Fever Tree elderflower flavored tonic
Oh,
water with a little
okay.
bit of cranberry juice. That's my favorite.
Very specialized there.
Yes. But yeah, no. I don't drink, but I drink a ton of water. Yeah. So that's been interesting. But yeah, so my doctors were like, "Hey, you need to get on this, and we'll do everything we can to help you." At the time, my work insurance would not cover it. I went through the letter of medical necessity. I called and appealed 3 times. I
Whoa.
fought with everything I could and felt completely defeated. And then I said, you know what? If I can't get it here, I'm gonna go work somewhere else and find a company that will support this decision so that I
There
have
you go.
less overall lifetime cost on
Yeah.
the medical system. And I'm going to do this. I need to do this. I have to find a way to do this. And I actually pulled money out of my 401k as
Okay.
a backup if it didn't go through. But I
Yeah.
was so blessed to find a company that was a new opportunity for me, and the medical insurance would cover it.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
How long did it take for you to find the new job and everything?
I was interviewing, and this was back in 2021. So the job market was a lot easier to manage.
Yeah.
I was interviewing for about 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Nice. That's so exciting that you found a spot that can take your insurance because a lot of us have insurance problems. If you're hearing this and you're like totally relating, it's normal. Insurance sucks. I don't think there's ever been a podcast where we've been like, yes, we love the insurance companies. We are so happy that you don't approve our stuff. We're so
Yeah.
excited.
Yeah.
So
And
I
my insurance now is fighting me on GLP-1s, but that's for
That's
later.
well, that's the deal. Like, if they're not fighting us on one end, they're gonna fight us on another end. And it's just like,
Yeah.
come on, y'all. Like, we don't want to be overweight and uncomfortable and unhealthy for
Yes.
years before we can get help. It's like, you know how hard it is. I think people forget. It's hard enough to ask for help, let alone
Yes.
when you finally ask for help and you make the phone calls and you fill out the forms. And you do every little thing that they ask for, and it's still no. No.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to appeal. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I hear it all the time. Is it worth my time appealing? Absolutely. It really is. Some insurance companies, if you appeal at least 2 times, they will just approve whatever comes in. So it is worth it, but they make it hard on purpose.
Yes.
So they don't approve everything. That's the whole thing. It's dumb. But yeah, I'm so happy you found a job that got one that did it. So did you already have some place lined up, or were you just waiting to get the job, get the insurance, and then find a place?
So I was going through Mayo Clinic because they have a bariatric program that is a preferred Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yep.
I can't remember the exact term.
Yeah.
But that meant I got to stay with my transplant team. And there was actually a surgeon there, Dr. Ty Dewan, who specialized only in bariatric surgery for kidney and liver transplant patients.
Wow.
I could not have gotten the more specialized person.
Yeah.
And he has a great bedside manner. He was like, you know what, we're here to help you. If you think that things aren't moving fast enough, here's my email. My assistant will absolutely get right back to you if I don't, if I'm in surgery or something. I was blown away by the support that I felt immediately.
I'm sure. That is nice.
And I was kind of a special case in this because they have started doing, and this was 3 years ago, they had started doing VSG for pre-transplant patients to allow them to qualify for the list because it's very rigorous, all the testing and qualifications that you have to get a transplant.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity for people who you've been so sick, you haven't been able to work out because the energy is absolutely not there. Your body isn't functioning well enough to lose weight, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an incredible program. And I'm so glad that it was within a reasonable drive of my house.
Seriously. So, you kind of were in like a perfect storm. It's like, you know what? She was born with these issues. The best clinic in the world is 2 hours away. You're going to be taken care of. Like, the world just works in mysterious ways. I swear it is insane to me. Because it's just so interesting how things just kind of fall into place. And that actually calms me because when shit goes awry, I'm like, it's okay. It's okay because something else is coming. There's a reason why, you know, like I don't work at this place anymore. I don't talk to these people anymore or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, no, there's something else. It's okay.
Yeah.
And that's, and guys, that's perfectly normal. Again, like I want you guys to feel normal about these feelings. And I definitely wanted Heather on because we've never had someone that had to deal with transplant issues, like not issues, but having transplants and then doing surgery. So it sounds like they were about like 4 years apart.
They were about 5 years apart.
About 4.5 years.
5 years. Yeah.
Okay. So once you got the surgery, when you woke up, how did that feel?
Well, so I have to tell you, I was a little worried before surgery because Dr. Dewan was telling me that I have some residual scar tissue in my abdomen because of the liver transplant.
Okay.
That they weren't 100% sure if they'd be able to do VSG. There was like a 10% chance that I might wake up and nothing had happened.
Oh God, that would be so annoying.
It was terrifying because I have fought for this so hard.
Yeah.
I want this so bad. I'm ready to do the work. And it might not happen still.
Even with them going inside of you. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I had been tested for a hiatal hernia before with a barium swallow. They didn't find anything. Well, they went in and they're like, oh yeah, you have that. I'm like, oh great.
So now we know that the barium does not work 100%.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes, it is not a foolproof test.
No.
So... Yeah.
Crazy.
But I woke up And I knew something had definitely happened. My throat was definitely sore from the tube and like swallowing, and I could feel just down here. I was in pain, but they quickly got pain under control and they took very good care of me. My dad went down with me and stayed with me. So I stayed over one night. That was their program. And came home and was on the road to recovery. And yeah.
That's crazy. So, did they make you do like a liquid diet prior, like a 2-week thing,
Yes.
or was it 24 hours?
So Mayo Clinic's protocol, at least when I did it, was 2 weeks before. So the first week was full liquids. The week before was clear liquids only.
Okay.
And then it swapped afterwards, where it was 1 week fully clear liquids. And then the
Okay.
next week was full liquids. So I couldn't do like devotion protein or Premier protein the first week before or the first week after,
Yeah.
right?
So you were clear liquids basically, like for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Post and pre.
Yes.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah. And then it was a progression of 3 months before I was off of restrictions totally.
Okay. Wow, that's definitely different. Now, do we think it's different because of the transplant stuff, or do we think it's different just because of the Mayo Clinic? Like,
It's
what are your
different because
thoughts?
of the Mayo Clinic, to my knowledge. They have like a what they call 85% success rate
Wow.
because of this longer period where you're really training your body, really allowing your body to heal fully before you move forward.
Okay.
And when I was doing a lot of protein shakes at the beginning, I did not like some protein shakes that I got beforehand
I'm
and went
sure.
through that whole thing. And
Yeah.
the only thing I could stomach was the Fairlife Core Power, the
Yeah.
42 gram ones, right?
Okay.
And I could not find them anywhere. It was so hard at that
Oh
point. I don't
no.
know what was going on, but it was rough. And I'm like, I have to eat.
I need something.
Yeah, I need this protein,
Yeah.
period.
You poor thing. Oh my goodness. What did you do?
Well, we went to many, many stores. I tried to get it on Walmart.com. It ended up being a third party. It ended up being a scam. I tried Amazon. That ended up being a scam third party seller. And I was like, ah, but I was
Oh
so
no.
lucky to find a couple of 12 packs to like kind of get me through. And then I moved over to Fairlife Milk
There you go.
just because it was accessible. Yeah, I had to drink more of it, but it was actually accessible. So that's what I kind of stuck with. And that got me the protein that I had to have to be successful, to meet my nutritional requirements. So.
It is insane, guys. Like, depending on what your surgery is, depending on what your genetics are, it might be real easy for you or very hard to find the food that you need for your body, because everyone's a little different. And like, I hate the 46 gram ones. I'm like, ew, gross. I'd rather the 26. But it's really, I actually enjoy the chocolate one that's 42. It's 42. I don't like the vanilla. Like, oh my God, it's wild. I was like,
I
it's
had this funny
too much
thing.
for me.
Yeah, I had this funny thing with protein shakes for a while where I wanted to save chocolate for real chocolate, so I refused to do chocolate protein shakes. I don't know why. It's
That's
the same
funny.
thing. It's the same like weird like mental moment where I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna watch TV in the hospital because then I think I'll get out faster.
I don't think that's
Yeah, I'm not gonna get comfy because I don't want to be here.
works. So what if you were like more of a pill to them, and maybe like they'll get you out of here because she's not
That'd be
watching any
nice, but
TV?
I just don't want to get comfy.
No comfy for you. That is so funny. We all have those random things too. We're like,
Yeah.
oh my God. I used to think I called them, well, I don't call them. I watch like Tom and Tom and Christina P. from YMH, your mom's house. And she calls them, her last name is Pazishki. She's Hungarian. So yeah, it's Christina. Okay. That's why she goes by Christina P. instead of her actual. But she calls it the Pazishki effect. Because their stupid shit like that would make no sense. But we do it anyway. With just like, I had no idea that I could just, like, in the shower, I didn't think about, like, oh, you can brush your hair in the shower? Like,
yeah.
But I was like, wait, because I'm like, why does everybody else when they get out, it's, like, not so tangly with their long hair? And I realized, oh, they're washing it while it's wet in the conditioner. And then you just wash dry and it's fine. And I'm like, oh, my God. I've gone, like, 35 years thinking, why is this so hard?
You're probably pulling half your hair out as you do it.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, little shit like that is just so funny. Just like how you can have a charger in every room if you want to. Like, if you don't want to be a cheapskate like me where I just take the one and keep moving it everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
Right? Like, but if you can afford it, put one in every room.
Yeah.
The one thing I do is the chapstick. There's chapstick everywhere in this house.
Oh, like, yeah.
You will find it in all places. Yeah. She has it right there with her. I have mine in my pocket. Like, that's a big deal, especially for surgery, guys. Like, if you're thinking, like, what should I put in my hospital bag? Chapstick. Like, a bunch of chapstick.
Better than anything is Aquaphor.
What's that?
Because it's not greasy, but it is all over moisturizer, so it's good for if you have like eczema or just dry skin, you know, your elbows in the winter, whatever. It's great. Yeah,
the elbows are a thing.
And feet. Throw some on and then put some socks on before you go to sleep kind of deal. It's magic.
I mean, I wish I could do that because that feels very foreign to me. I'm like, no, I mean, my feet cannot be suffocated while I'm sleeping.
Yeah, I don't like that either, to be honest.
But I know it works very, very well.
Yeah. Very
well. So then we're 3 months out. Now, what can you eat? Because they're being very obviously particular with you. So what's different? What do you get to eat?
So I had restrictions of about 60 to 70 grams of protein per day, which I actually still have.
Okay.
Because of the kidney. Now, kidneys, it's important to know that they can be very affected by too much protein.
Okay. So that's a problem in itself?
Yeah, so it can be harder to manage. So even 3 years out, my doctors are like, yeah, no, you can't really go above this because it could damage your kidney. Oh, okay. I'm going to be very cognizant of that.
Yeah, so you're stuck at that level, really, no matter what you want to do.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so I really don't do protein shakes anymore just because I want to eat the protein at this point. But back then, I had such restriction that I had to be very cognizant of making sure I'd hit that level, and it was tougher then, of course, than it is now. And so it was a lot of Fairlife milk. I loved meatballs.
Okay. Yep.
That was a go-to with a little bit of Parmesan and a little bit of marinara. Ooh, great.
Love that.
Cheese fiend. I've always loved cheese. I'm Minnesotan, so you know.
Cheesehead, 100%.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm close enough to Wisconsin.
It counts. You're Wisconsin adjacent. It's fine.
Yes. There we go.
So lots of cheese, and I know that's for really normal for us. Like I was a lot of like almonds and walnuts and cheese. String cheese was all over my house. Like it's crazy because it's not anymore. So, guys, it does gradually, it will change what you eat. And for those that think you'll only get to eat this and that's it for the rest of your life, that's not true.
No.
Not true at all. All of us will yell at you and be like, no, you can have all the things again. It's just now it's in, like, tiny portions.
And it's good to be mindful of reintroducing foods, too.
Yes.
At whatever pace is best for you. If you know that you struggle with something, it's okay to hold off.
Yep.
Completely okay.
Yeah, I held off for 2 years for soda. Like
Yeah.
I didn't have any soda for 2 years. I didn't have alcohol for a year and a half. I didn't have mozzarella sticks. This is a big one for like 3 years,
Oh.
because that was a trigger food. And I love Red Robin's mozzarella sticks. So like I avoided Red Robin. I didn't go for years because like anytime I went to any restaurant, I asked people to not order an appetizer, and if they did, just not mozzarella sticks, because it was just such a big deal for me. Because I would sometimes they would order two baskets for the table because Mel's gonna eat like four to herself. So
Right,
yeah.
right.
And so that's a problem. So yeah, well, I just avoided it 100%, and now I can go back. I have my one guy and we're good to go. But guys, as
Yeah.
you can see, it took me 3 years to be okay with having a mozzarella stick again. So you
Yeah.
introduce it when you want to introduce it. Do not let
Right.
anybody peer press you, damn it, okay?
Yes,
Yes.
totally.
You get to do what you
So,
want to do. Your body, your choice. That means a
yeah.
lot of things.
Yes, it does. It
It
does.
does. It does. So were you able to get to a point where you could go on walks and you can actually like do some
Yes.
sort of movement workout? What did you do?
Yeah, so primarily I would go on walks with my dad because I was
Okay.
living with my parents. And surprise, I am again.
We all do it. We all do
it's
it.
all good. It's all good. It's we have a good goal in mind. But we went on walks every single day, every morning, and they gradually got longer. And then we challenged ourselves to just a virtual 5K. We just timed ourselves to see how long it would take to.
Okay.
Pushed ourselves, walked fast, and went. And at that point, it was 1 hour and 12 minutes. And then I got it down to just about 50 minutes
Okay.
over time. And then I was walking at my best. I was doing 4 miles a day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so exciting. Look at
Yeah.
you. Look at you go. Because
Yeah.
a 5K is like 3.2 miles, I think, right? Or 3.1.
3.1.
3.1. Yeah.
So,
Wow. So what do you do now for exercise? Do you know which?
now we have, so we moved back to my parents just real recently, and we started doing daily walk runs,
Nice.
switching, alternating every other day with that, walking and running. And then we started doing Tai Chi
Yeah.
and chair exercises because my folks are older,
Right.
and my dad was really interested in doing like chair workouts, which it's so funny. We did it 2 days ago. We did it on Friday. There's an ab one on YouTube. It's all free. There's so many free resources out there, but
Yes. YouTube is your friend, guys.
yes, but this one. Actually, I could do the ab workouts because one thing that's really interesting about liver and kidney transplant, if you ever end up with both, I hope you don't, but if you do, they actually cut through your abdominal muscles, so mine are not connected.
Oh, no.
With the liver in particular, liver transplant, they cut through your abdominal wall,
Yep.
and so I cannot physically on the floor do a sit-up. But this chair ab workout, I could totally do. I was so excited. I'm like, yeah, I
Yay!
can target these muscles.
You're like, I can finally do it. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So doing that, and my folks have 34 acres here and woods, and then there's the road, there's a dirt road, connects to a paved road. So I've got plenty of variety just here.
Yeah, you do. Just like
Which I love.
walking, running, you can lift things, you can move
Yes.
shit. Like,
Yes.
hell yeah, that's exciting. Yeah,
Yeah.
and find what you love, because that's what's like the biggest deal on this journey.
Yeah. And my dad and my boyfriend Anthony go with me. So we've got a good group, all accountable to each other. My mom likes to do her silver sneakers class at the local gym.
That's
But
cute.
yeah, we do all that together, and it's great to have that accountability. For me, it's a game changer. I really need somebody who's like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And that's what you do need, guys. Like, if you can't do it for yourself, then if someone can't do it for you, then you might have to pay someone to do it for you. That's kind of the deal. That's what those personal trainers are for. That's what your life coaches are for. They keep you motivated. They keep you moving. So if you can't, that's okay. We have that. Yeah. That's why they make people like us. Like, you can even join the Berry Sister program, and I will make sure you are held accountable. My girls know. I message them probably like every few days, just checking on them. So it sounds like you had a great support system because you had the transplants, and this was like definitely medically necessary for you.
Yes.
Like, you, it sounds like you probably didn't have any haters out there or any rudeness.
No, nobody to my face. I'm sure I had people in my life that I probably don't talk to now. But nobody outright rude. They were just like, okay, you're working hard for your health. Wonderful.
Good, good. I love that, because that's what you need. You need, like, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but the core people in your life on board. Like, the family and, like, one or two close friends. So, yes. So how has been, I'm just going to ask it, how has been dating and sex life and all that? Because I know that you are single going through this, the transplant and surgery.
Yes, so. I was. And she was really, really interesting.
Okay.
I was on and off the dating apps. Tried connecting with somebody in the community, and just nothing was really sticking. And then I ended up on Hinge, and I got a message from Anthony. And this was probably about 10, it was 10 or a little more, 11 months out from surgery.
Okay.
So I had lost over 100 pounds. He actually saw a picture of me from JBY 2023.
Woo!
And he was like, okay, I like that. That's good. And so he messaged me and said, hey, Heather, what do you think about, or do you like brunch? I love brunch, and I'd love to take you out to brunch.
Ah! That's cute.
And something that is kind of special about Anthony and I, we actually went to kindergarten together, and he was my first friend in kindergarten, and vice versa.
Whoa!
We had these notebook journals that every week we'd do an entry in there, and the first one was, it was always like a canned response thing.
Oh, yeah.
But the first one was, we go to school in September and make friends, and then you were supposed to draw a picture of you with your friend. So I have Tony and Heather on there. So it's up on our wall.
Whoa! That is so cute! Oh my god. Yeah. Oh, I love that. So, and you have it up in your room?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god.
We had classes on and off together after that. Hung out a couple times in high school. And reconnected one time a little before my transplant, but we were both just going through some life stuff, and then came back together a little over 2 years ago now.
That's crazy.
And have been inseparable since. So
I love that.
Yeah.
That's such a good little, like, love story, guys. So just know, love stories happen after surgery.
This is
so cute. I love it. I see, like a story of Bee just got married. And, like, when Bree got married, I was like, oh my god. And then she had the babies that she's been wanting to have. And that is what's cool about, like, staying connected in the community, is you really get to see these people grow and change. And then they get to have the things that they've been wanting. Like, so many of you guys have had medical issues and couldn't have babies. And it is the coolest thing, at least for me, when I get to see you guys, like, have your babies. Because I'm like, oh my god, you did it! Like, because it's so hard. You know, PCO, do you have PCOS? Because, like,
I don't.
A lot of us do, so.
Just the kidney stuff.
Just the kidney stuff. You know what, they were like, you know what, she was born with a lot, we're not going to give her the PCOS, too.
Yeah.
That'll be the next baby in the draft. That's...
yeah. We'll pass this one. She's got enough.
She's got enough. Like, she's going to have a hell of a life. So let's go on.
Yeah.
I love that. So what, you know me, I love non-scale victories. Those are one of my favorite things because I say it over and over again. The scale will stop. I can't stress this enough. I would love for us to keep losing, but then we have no body or brains or organs. So you will have to stop. And what keeps me going after 10 years, and I'm sure after 3 years for you, it's these fucking non-scale victories. So like, tell me some. I love it.
My absolute favorite non-scale victory is having the energy to move, period. I remember when I was so sick, just physically so fatigued, just existing, that walking around the house, I'd have to stop. Going up the stairs was so hard. I would get dizzy.
Oh my God.
And I don't have that anymore. I'm so blessed to be able to, you know, run up the stairs. Do I sometimes feel it in my quads? Oh yeah, of course. That's fine. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. You're working your muscles, but I'm not out of breath and huffing and Now to think to walk a mile, I'm like, yeah, I can do that.
Right? Like you're not sweating.
I want to have the right footwear. Scared.
Yeah. Footwear is key. Footwear is key, guys. Yes. That's another one. Invest in your footwear.
Like, yes.
I know that they can be expensive. I get it. But if you get a couple, then you, like, can always trade back and forth, and now you have shoes for a few years, and 100%. So you got your energy back, you're moving like crazy. What else is there?
I feel better just going out. It was super weird dating, because I definitely got different types of responses from people. Anthony, I'm so glad, and I wouldn't have said yes if he wasn't just an absolute gentleman, but there was a lot more interest than when I was heavier.
Okay.
And so it was interesting to deal with. It was not something I think I was prepared for, really.
Yeah. Because you felt that dynamic shift. You got to see it in real time, going from big to tiny to smaller, and what kind of guys will, like, which kind of guys will talk to you, I guess, is the big deal. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was interesting. It was a little sad to say goodbye to Torrid, because that was a favorite for me.
I know.
When I was heavier, I'm like, I can't, it doesn't fit anymore.
It was like a weird loss, because you're like, I love this store, but yes, I don't have to shop in it at the same time.
Right? Like, I have such a love-hate relationship with the clothing at Target, because so many of the shirts are like half of the shirt that they used to be.
Yeah.
But I could shop at Target and be comfortable. It was stuff like that where I was like, I can go to a normal store and not have to worry about, oh, I don't know if they have my size.
Yep.
And take that, like, do I even want to go in kind of moment? Yeah. And I don't have to anymore.
Yeah. So, one of the ones with the shopping was like, I hated trying on clothes. I hated going into there, and I would just be sweaty and frustrated. Yeah. And like, I remember when I first could, and it was so weird because I'm like, wait, this just slipped right on.
Yeah.
I'm not annoyed afterwards. I'm not sweaty. I'm not in no anxiety ridden at all. Like, all of a sudden, like, it worked, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it is the craziest feeling. So guys, just know that feeling is coming, and it's one of the best.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are my, like, biggest, and I was so happy. I got to spend 14 and a half years with my dog. She passed 2024, August 2024. Aww. She was 16 and a half.
Oh, damn.
She was an old girl. But I got to spend the last years with her, going on so many walks, getting her outside. She loved going on walks with me.
Aww.
And I feel like I got so much satisfaction out of it. She did too. I know I got to enrich her life, and that meant so much.
I bet, because really that did. I bet you would have been sad if you wouldn't have been able to those things with your animal. Because, like, our pets are our family. Like, these are our little loved ones. So, to be able to do that is, like, incredible. Congrats, Heather. Like, that is very cool. You've definitely made some crazy strides during this. And I want everybody, we're always transparent. So, like, I've regained 50 and have lost 70 of the regain. Are you dealing with any regain issues?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I had a lot of life changes in the last year and a half or so, and was not moving my body like I should.
Yep.
Just totally clear. Like, it's kind of crazy. And so I did regain about 60 pounds, and I'm working on it now. I'm doing 2-a-day workouts with my dad and my boyfriend, and Anthony is absolutely incredible. I got the chance to talk to a dietitian at Mayo Clinic because I'm a special case.
Yep.
I have the kidney stuff. I've got the BSG.
Liver.
So it and the liver, and it's very important to be cognizant of all of your health stuff going on. If you're a very complicated case, I'd highly recommend going to a dietitian that your doctor recommends, just because sometimes it's layer. Yep. Not to say that a registered dietitian can't do it, but just have that oversight from your medical team.
I think it's great to have a specialized dietitian for these cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, the thing that they're going to give you is going to be completely different from me, no matter what.
Right.
So, go to the one that will work for you.
Yeah. So he's weighing all my food. We're tracking everything. I feel so incredibly supported because I can just say, hey, you gave me this. Now I have to fill this much of this macro and this much of this macro. Can we work together to do that? And I've been using AI to help us plan too. And we have made an effort to only keep things that are within plan in the house because
smart.
I am definitely a person that if it's in the house, I will totally go and eat it.
Yep.
Chocolate, whatever. Yes, 100% okay to have that in small quantities. I still struggle with some of the triggers there.
Yeah.
So to mitigate that and to make myself the most successful, at this time, I don't keep it in the house.
Yeah, don't. I would not. I highly recommend do not bring any trigger foods into the house. Because I'm the same thing. I'm like Cookie Monster. And depending on what it is, I will literally tell myself it's okay because I'm going to eat it so fast. It's going to be gone in the house and I don't have to worry about it later. That's what I tell myself almost every time. And it's like, that's not how that works. Like, it's like, yeah, it will be gone. But now all of those like calories and sugars are being absorbed in your body. So it's like, it's not like it's gone. It's you fucking ate it, girl. Like that's, I can't have cookies in the house. I can't have garlic bread in the house, French bread, any of the thick, delicious breads cannot be in the house. It's just regular old potato bread is what I have in the house. Because I will literally do butter bread. My mom did that when I was a kid. And so like that stuck. Where it's like, if I don't have anything to eat, I'll just have a butter bread.
Mine was bread with cinnamon and sugar and butter.
Glad my mom did not introduce that. That would have been real bad real fast.
And graham cracker sandwiches, like, you know, the pre-cut perforated bits with butter between it. That, as a kid, was my vice.
Whoa! I am very happy I didn't learn that one either, because I love cinnamon. Yeah, I fucking brown sugar and cinnamon are like, love it.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I never played like that. We did the, this is just because we were poor, so like we were trying to figure out what to do, and we would take tortillas, and we would just put butter on one side, and then we would fry it up, and then we would salt it. And then have salsa and basically we were trying to make our own chips. That's basically what me and my brother were trying to do. We had no idea what the fuck we were doing, but we were like, this sounds good. So we're just frying up butter tortillas, eating it with salt. Like, that is definitely not good, but You just don't know when you're that age. I mean, and our parents, we come from a generation that the knowledge was not at their fingertips. And I have to remind people of that, because some of us get really angry about our family and be like, you did this to me, you know? And it's like, I get it. I definitely was a product of my environment. But like, again, they didn't have the resources we have now.
Right.
Like, my mom wishes, even to this day, that she knew what she knew now, because she's, you know, she's 61 years old, weighs 40. She's a hospice nurse moving patients like crazy, and she gets back spasms like all the time now. And it's because like, I've been trying to get her guys to do VSG or GLP-1. My mom is so stubborn because she really believes that at 61, she can't lose any weight and that it's done. And I was like, no. And I've sent her people in the community that I know that are over 60 that are fucking going crazy. So guys, when you're older, just keep posting. You are helping other parents. Like, that's what's happening. We are literally taking your shit and sharing it. Like, my mom has gotten a lot of you guys because of that. Because I'm like, no, mom. Look, even these doctors I know will do it up to 72. Like, come on. Let's go. Let's go. So
There's still life to have.
Yes. And that's the thing, guys. Your life, I'm trying to teach people, and this is going to be part of my program, is like teaching like time. It's like your time is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember that. So is it worth driving 3 hours to get a food? Because I know I have done this. Is it worth your time to go to that restaurant 3 hours away to eat and then drive 3 hours back in a car? Is that worth the time? Because you're not moving your body. You're barely probably drinking water. And you're going to gorge yourself while you're there. Because you're like, I didn't eat all day, so I can eat everything I want. That's what we all tell ourselves. And then now we're in a... Now we just ate all of our food, gorged ourselves, and now we're driving 3 hours back. Yeah. So, and then again, not moving and probably barely getting water. So it's like, is the time worth it? Is your body worth it? Is your mental health worth it? So you really have to look at these things now in a different lens, because it's now everything is worth something, and it's, it doesn't have to be monetary at all. So like, that's what I'm learning is like, okay, is this worth my time and my energy? If it's the answer is yes, then we're going to go do it. If the answer is like, eh, we're probably not going to do it, because that really means no. Yeah. And your body's just trying to tell you, and you just, your brain's fighting you, but it's like, no, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just remembered one more NSD that was absolutely my biggest.
Okay.
2 years out of VSG, I went to have my yearly transplant checkup, and my numbers were all good.
I hadn't had
bad numbers, but the doctors were completely astonished that I had kept it off, the weight off, for 2 years. My kidney function was better than it had been since transplant. And this last year, you know, year three, best it's ever been since transplant. Best ever. Despite the weight gain, they're like, hey, yeah, you need to get on that. But best ever kidney function. I've literally gained years of my life back, because I have been given this incredible gift of both transplants, which is just beyond anything I could dream of. I'm able to live every day, but also weight loss surgery, to be able to move, to be way more comfortable than I was. And I'm still, you know, I've got the regain, working on it. I know I'm uncomfortable right now. I'm moving to become more comfortable again. It's such a wonderful thing. It really is. It
really is. You've gotten your full life back. Like, you're like human again. You're human. You can do things and do all the stuff. And like, guys, like, she's been to the last few JBYs. Actually, I think you've been to all of them, right?
Not the first one. The first one, I didn't know that you could go pre-op, so I didn't even.
Oh, yeah. 100%. any listeners that are pre-op, come to Just Be You Bariatric Awards.
Yay,
it will be in Oregon in 2027. It's April 24th of 2027. And that's what's cool is, like, Heather's gone to the last two, and she's gotten more involved and more involved with the community. And I think that really helps our mental health. Would you say that it does? Do you say that it's been helping?
Absolutely. With the world as it stands, everything's crazy. I feel like I have a smaller circle than I used to, just even with weight loss surgery, because you've got people who don't understand inherently, and that's going to be something that you have to work through. The world has been crazy, and there's people that maybe it's best not to spend a bunch of time with them anymore.
Yeah.
It's okay to outgrow friendships. It is.
And regular, even regular relationships, I'm going to throw that out there too.
Yes.
It is okay to outgrow your partner. It happens.
Yeah. And being able to plug into the community and to feel like I can make a difference in other people's lives by uplifting people, encouraging them, working in this instance, working on the website and making sure that resources are available, that things work. It brings me so much fulfillment and joy to be able to have a hand in that, because I know I followed so many people early on in my journey when I was even just considering weight loss surgery. And having those people out there encouraging others is so important. Have a bigger impact on people than you realize. Even if they never message you, there's still people, you know, cheering you on from the sidelines. Absolutely. So I love that I have this even, you know, backstage hand in things. Mm-hmm. It means a lot.
Well, and we need you guys. We need those people because, like, you guys give us, like, I know by you just helping me has alleviated so much stress and anxiety. And now we have a really great friendship and we text and we don't, it's not just a working relationship or just the fact that we both had surgery. Like, it's a real friendship now. And I think that's what's really cool about being plugged into the community is you can make some really fucking awesome friends. And I'm learning more and more that it really sucks though, because like you guys are all across the country and no one's in my state. Like motherfuckers, that's the only downside of having all my friends is like, when it comes to where you want to celebrate something, it's like, shit, you guys are all like, I have literally, it's Minnesota, New York, Florida, Texas, Oregon, California. Yeah. And I'm like, we all need to get together. Hence why I do throw a big party every 2 years. We have to throw a big party for this community, celebrate everybody, because there's so many of you. And I love you guys, but it's so hot. We can't meet all the time. And getting people's schedules, like, all online are just so hard. But I encourage it, because I know I've had really rough days and I've opened my phone and I've seen compliments and I've seen people message me things where I'm like, oh, I actually am making a difference. I am not the piece of shit I thought I was 2 minutes ago. So we're good.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what you can do for someone. You have no idea what people are going through in a day. Right. Yes. And I remember as a kid, when I heard that, I was like, whatever, like it can't be that bad. And no, it can be. So, like, you really have no idea what someone is, dealing with. Because I remember when my dad died, so this is Big Mel. So Mel's 300-pound Mel. Dad dies. I had to return something in Woodburn Outlet at the van store. And I already don't like going to Woodburn Outlet because there's a lot of people. And I don't like being, I really, really didn't like being around a lot of people when I was bigger. I have learned to cope with a lot of it these days, but like back then it was way worse, you know, icky, sticky, embarrassing stuff. Right. So I'm going into Vans and this guy and his girlfriend opened the door and let me through. And I was just so focused on returning. I didn't say thank you, which is very weird for me. I'm like, please and thank you, lady. And I did it. And all I hear them go, what a fucking bitch. She can't even say thank you. And I just turned around. I'm like, I am so sorry. I normally do, but my dad just died. I'm trying to return something. And they're just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, now they feel like assholes. And it was just like, you just really don't. Like, that's key ways of just, you just don't know what people are going through. So trying to be kinder to each other. This world is fucking crazy right now. Yeah. And I feel for Heather because she's in Minnesota. And I feel like Minnesota is getting the brunt of this fucking crazy shit right now. Yeah. You know, out of all states that we could get this kind of like crazy, like, I'm going to take your town from you shit, I would have never guessed Minnesota at all. So it's like, you poor thing. Like, I always keep checking because I know where Heather lives, guys. So I'm just like, okay, they're not near her. I'm like, ICE hasn't shown up at your neck of the woods, so we're good. I just check on it all the time.
They are, but I don't leave my house. Like, I go outside in the yard and just on our road. We don't go out very much. So
yeah, you're like, we got 36 acres, bitch. Like, try me. Like, this is. Try to find me on this 36 acres.
I am legally and constitutionally armed, so I am fine. Also, there's coyotes here, so, you know, you kind of gotta be careful. I've seen a wolf here, there's some bears, so, you know.
I love it. Yeah, better be fucking careful. Let's fucking go. So, at the end of all the episodes, I always ask, is there something that you would like to share with people to keep them going? Or what would you tell younger Heather now that you are older Heather and know what it's like to be in this process? I guess that's really the question. What would you tell younger Heather?
Yeah, I would say don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and make some friends that are going through what you're going through, even if not exactly identical. There's people out there who can relate and who want to support you.
Yep. It's wild, the feeling, because I didn't believe it for a while, guys. These people actually really do care. Like, like, I didn't know that they cared like I cared, but they do.
Yeah.
They totally do. And it's very comforting and satisfying to go from a group where, I don't know about you, but I've been bullied. I've been made fun of. I've been pushed around in hallways when I was in high school. Our bullying was very physical back then. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't the online. We didn't have online yet. I feel so old. So, like, you know, like, it's coming from a world of, like, we just got made fun of all the time, and I'm ashamed and embarrassed to, like, oh, now we have surgery and we have all the support. It's, like, mind-blowing. Yeah, it's like, where have you all been all my life? And it's like,
but it's weird.
It's weird. I literally was prepared for hate and just for stupid messages and whatever. And I haven't. I mean, I've gotten a couple, but I've been on the gram for a while now. Yeah. It's going to happen. Haters are going to hate. But I would say the first three or four years, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Yeah.
It was all uplifting, picking each other up, giving each other advice. Like, no one was hating on each other. Like, we're just trading recipes and fucking face-to-face Fridays and transformation Tuesdays. Like, I loved all that. And I still do that. I'm trying to make sure we all still keep doing that because those side-by-sides are huge.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, even now with the regain, I've had a lot of contemplation, and actually coming back to my parents' house, I was going through some old clothes. I thought I had gotten rid of everything. Apparently I hadn't. And I had some Judy blues at the very beginning when they started getting really big, right?
Okay.
And they were like a size 16, and now I'm in like a 9 Judy blues. And I was like, I only have one pair of pants. I need to buy another pair of pants.
Yeah.
But I wonder if any of my old clothes would fit. And I'm like, oh no, these are not going to fit. And that's okay.
Yes, so, it's finally a good reason it's not fitting. Yeah.
So even though I'm not where I want to be right now, it's I'm so much further than I was.
That you've ever been.
That I've ever been. So, you know, I know I can do it again. I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
And it was just very gratifying to take a moment and see, I'm not all the way back there. It's okay. I still can turn this around 100%.
Yeah, only time you can't turn it around is once you give up.
Yeah.
Like, if you give up on yourself, you're never going to do anything that you want to do. But if you just keep trying a little bit every day, then it really works. Like, I thought that was a bunch of crap, like, 5 years ago. Like, the small little goals would really get you to the big goal. And I've done it so many times that it is accurate. The little goals make the big goal even easier. And sometimes you get to the big goal really fast and you didn't even realize that it was going to be like that. So just don't give up on yourself. Little goals fucking matter. And they also hear that when they talk to me on my coaching stuff. Cause I'm like, all right, I get that you want the size 10 dress or whatever, but right now you're in a 16. So let's break this down even further of little goals. Because I was never the one that would celebrate back in the day. I think that's probably why I like NSV so much, is I never celebrated anything. Like, my ex-husband is not someone that celebrates shit. So I was just, he would literally go, well, that's where you're supposed to be. So why am I celebrating you? Yeah. I love your eyes. If you guys were on YouTube, you guys would have seen Heather's eyes just bulge when I said that. Because that's how what he was like. He's like, I'm not going to celebrate something that you should have already been able to do. Yeah. Cool. Thanks. So I turned on that mentality towards myself. So I just didn't celebrate anything.
Yeah.
And Kelly was actually the one that got me back to celebrating stuff. So now I'm like, let's celebrate everything. Let's go. Like I was able to walk and not fucking die. Awesome. It's just those little things go. I mean, I just talked to someone that used to be 600 pounds. They're 300 pounds. And they used to only be able to do 88 steps. That was their life, was just from their apartment to their car is 88 steps. And then 88 steps back. And that's all they could do for years. And then now they can fucking run around their apartment complex. Like, that's amazing. Like, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it, because like that shit is what keeps you going.
And then just speaking to celebration, and being kind to yourself, this is something that I really had to work on. And this is my advice to anybody who's starting out this journey, or if you're struggling. If you're seeing photos of yourself you do not like, and all you're doing is picking yourself apart, I want you to pick three things about that photo that you like, even if it's not directly about you. You're like, oh, I was having fun in that moment. I like the color that I was wearing. Start somewhere. Pick three things and say three nice things to yourself.
About yourself.
And do that every day, because that was something that really helped to change my mindset.
It works. I've even had people thank their body, because they couldn't see anything that they liked.
Yeah.
So I was having them thank their legs for being there for you and holding you up and walking, and because we take for granted the fact that we can walk to the bathroom, we can walk to the mailbox and mow the yard. And we, once it's gone, then we're like, oh my God, I can't do this. This is insane. Yeah. But these are things we take for granted. So if you can't find something that you like in the photo, start thanking your body for being what it is. And that I know helps a lot with chronic disease people, because, you're in pain all the time. You're dealing with sickness all the time. You're always dealing with something. And so it's like, okay, let's thank our bodies sometimes, because we can't find something else that we actually like about it. And that has gone a long way in the people that I've been around and worked with. Like, these are the little things that we're talking about, y'all. So
yes.
Well, thank you so much, Heather. I appreciate you for coming on, sharing that crazy ass story, which is your life, my friend. Yes. And guys, if you need help with anything that has to do with transplants, anything that has to do with kidneys and liver and all this stuff, I know Heather is way open to help you with this. She'll probably point you in the right directions. If you want to just message me, I will find them. I will talk to Heather as well. We will get you to the Mayo Clinic, whatever it is, because your health is so important.
Yes.
It's number one, because guess what? You can't get a job or a car or money or friends if you don't have your health first. You just can't.
Yeah.
So, and I can tell I'm getting older because now things that matter are not, is not money and cars. It is your health and friendship and mental health. It's like,
yes,
it totally shifts as you get older, guys. So just remember that. And of course, drink that water, get that protein in, get your sleep, go see your therapist when they have you ready to go. And then of course, don't forget your vitamins. They are non-negotiables. I have mine right here for ProCare. Yeah. And lastly, and not least, don't be an asshole to one another. Bye. Bye. Have a great week, guys.